Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once our guests have hit our studio, our platform, whatever you want to call it, I call it once they have entered into our space, that we welcome them and we are going to turn it over to them so that they can introduce to us who they are and what they have created, because it is my belief that we are all creators. And then we are going to take our wonderful journey, as usual. What we do here at Threads is to dissect that, because he did not become what he is going to tell you guys in one day. He woke up and say, okay, this is what I want, and he did it. There was a journey. We want to know what that journey was, how he overcame, and so that you can do the same and also have a podcast and write books. So, Dominic, I want to thank you for coming by Threads of Enlightenment and enter into our space. I thank you so much, sir, for coming.
My pleasure, Ken. My pleasure, man. Let's get the tapestry blanket going, man.
We had a conversation before this, and Dominic said I should have taped it. It was a podcast before a podcast, he entitled it. So, so tell the people about
yourself.
Y'all got
to hit the man's offer plate.
Introduce yourself, Dominic. Let them know what you've created. I know you have a couple of books. I know you also have a podcast. Talk to them. Let them know what you have and the things that you are a part of today.
Yeah, my pleasure indeed. Well, thanks again for having me on. This is going to be a great conversation. And for those who don't know the guy speaking at the moment, name's Dominic Dom Brightman, hailing from the land of charm, crime, and crab cakes, Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm a certified self-leadership trainer who is a Maxwell Leadership Certified team member, as well as a best-selling author of multiple books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, follow-up book, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success, and a multi-author project called Crappy to Happy, Secret Stories of Transformational Joy, as well as host of the Going North podcast. And all that culminated together, all because of a setback sandwich year of 2012, where in the US of A, we thought the world was going to end. But all that really happened is that we just lost Twinkies for a month. And instead of losing Twinkies for a month, I found self-development.
Well, we're going to have that conversation, because he has laid out a bunch of stuff that he has created. And you know, that stuff gets me excited, because I know the people that create things like this, their journey was a difficult one. And I want to tell people all the time that you and I are creators, and creators only show up when things are dark. And we're going to get a lot into the darkness that you have passed through. But I want to go back, Dominic, I want to go back and talk to us about that. Once you've entered the planet, the beautiful day, your parents loved it. They smiled. All things are great. You came from the hospital, you're home. And the programming begins. Talk to us about that place that we call home. And then you heard me said before, I look at it as our lab, that we are now brought into this lab. And we have these scientists that have theses that are based from trauma. And so talk to us about your parents, you, your siblings, stuff like that, as you have been presented into this wonderful lab.
Ah, yeah. Well, I guess I should probably call myself Dexter for Dexter's Laboratory, since we're calling it a lab. Or I could use a Labrador Retriever. Yeah, man, like, I love that terminology, though, because you're so right. It is a lab, because parents, yeah, they do the best they can with what they have. Yeah. And raising children is a learning experience. No matter how many books you read, articles you read, like, no matter what you listen to, the advice, like, every child you raise is going to be different. And it does take a village, no matter what the child, who the child is, because folks respond in different ways.
Yeah.
And my laboratory, my two wonderful parents, father, he was a veteran, served in the U.S. Army. He was an 82nd Airborne Division paratrooper, fought in World War II, and served again in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. Had two combat jumps, decorated man, who later became a bus driver for a good 35 years. My mother, she was all about education. She was my first ever public speaking coach, because when it came to public speaking, she would write down stuff I would repeat in plays for church, Sunday school, things like that. Heck, gave my first ever prayer in front of the church, and really just helped me to get that start. And those two wonderful parents have really helped me to become who I am today. Because even though my mom was the public speaking coach, in a way, as I call her, is one of her many wonderful titles and one of the reasons for my success, my father was more of the churchgoer, because every Sunday it would be 8:30 to just about 3 p.m. each church. 8:30 to 3. I'm glad we didn't have evening service, because man, oh man, it was long already.
You guys were must not been Pentecostal, because we had Wednesday nights, man. You know, we had Wednesday nights just as long as the Sunday. We would have to go home, Dominic, to get a nap, man, just to be able to get back into church, because we were so exhausted from the morning service, quote unquote, that ran into the afternoon. Then we have to run and get our nap and then come on back for the evening service. So we lived there, as they say. So when you told me that you were only up from Monday to 3 o'clock, I know you weren't Pentecostal, man. So you got lucky.
Oh yeah. My dad did Sunday school, but the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the Bible study, like, nah, fam, he was a pastor's kid himself. So
yeah.
Even as a kid, he was like, one Sunday night, he's like, hey, in the group of grown-ups, like, hey, can we just do one prayer, please? Like, and they, all the grown-ups just laugh. Like, the kids know the truth, man.
Yeah, so, yeah. There you go. But yeah, that was part of my lab training, because a lot of my belief system came out of that. It is still a part of my life, because I use some of the what I noticed was, when I went into the world per se, went into corporate America, a lot of the principles that they taught me in corporate America in order to be a success were many of the same principles that are written in the Bible. And so as I began to, I studied different religions as well, and I saw that the principles were before the church. It was before the Bible. It was before all of those things, because the Bible was just written as a document much later on with Moses and so forth. But Abraham and all those guys, Enoch and all those other men in the scripture in the world were way before that. So the principles are eternal. And so that's what I came out of it. And I know that you were brought up in that same system to us. Talk to me about some of those deep programmings that we receive within the church, and also about, you know, the things that guide our life. You paint a beautiful picture of your family, and that's important. Talk to us about your character, as they say, or your belief system within that home, within that lab.
Yep, solid question indeed, and solid points about the biblical principles, because, hey, it's a great book, but it's a collection of books, and the principles are eternal indeed.
Yeah.
And some of those principles have been part of my life, still part of my life today. Heck, the classic golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated, or just plain treat people with some respect. Everybody deserves to be treated with just respect. And if they invite you for disrespect, then you can invite them to go the other way and you go yours. And yeah, really, like, one of the major things that stick out is not only the golden rule, but also just striving for more and bettering your life, because that's something that my mother always wanted to do. She was more on the educational side since she got her master's, and my dad, he dropped out of high school and he ended up being drafted later on when he had enough money to buy a Harley. So one of his biggest regrets in life was not getting his full education. So that's kind of had a big impact on where I am now, where I'm kind of in the middle. I got an associate's, but I read at least 30 plus books a year. It used to be 50, but then, you know, I have books are kind of slow and podcasts are faster. So yeah.
So talk to us about some of those. How did it form your belief system coming in from that point of view? Because to me, it sounds like a solid footing by which you can now springboard into your life, that you can extract principles from there. How did it begin to form that young man that became Dominic as far as a title, but an individual, a thinking human spirit apart from your parent?
Yeah, good question. Well, the thing is, Christian household, raised in there, but I got, around seventh grade, went to a Christian high school and became heavily dogmatic as a Christian and wasn't really open to other faiths, really. And really, it actually took a shell shock around 2012, where it was like, hey, because I thought there was a particular moment where I realized, you know, maybe I should try to read the book for myself and see what it really says. And it was actually really interesting reading the wonderful Bible itself, because it's like, hey, if it's something I believe, I should actually know what the book is saying. Because one of my past podcast guests said he was a Jewish man. He says, hey, no matter what your faith, make sure you own your text. And I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad I found that before him. And just that, and just going similar to what you're doing, just studying other faiths. Heck, even one of your past guests, Corby Metlod, actually had her on my show earlier this year too. And like me 10 years ago, the joke was to myself, like, hey, like 10 years ago, if I had this show, I wouldn't even entertain a tarot card reader. But at the same time, it's like, hey, even though we have different beliefs and different ways of living, at the same time, we still have inspirational stories to share. Because, hey, she basically, in her words, danced with cancer. She didn't survive cancer. She just danced with cancer. And just really realizing that, hey, no matter what our beliefs, where we come from, just that switch, that paradigm shift of being heavily dogmatic, like, hey, if you don't believe in God, the way, the truth, and life, you're going to hell, as opposed to the other way, where it's like, hey, come from a place of love first and not trying to condemn people for their beliefs, because not everybody's guaranteed the other side of transformation. So that's probably one belief that switched over, because life will hit you. Life will hit you.
As
unfortunate change.
It definitely will. And I think that's the purpose of living. I think we get into this stagnant drifting, I call it. It's a stagnant drifting, meaning that we believe the programming to a point where all we do basically is get up and go to work and put in our time and then come home. We are tired. You can only really do so much with our family and to become a servant to our wives and children because that's where all the power comes from. And so we are working in this entity, and we have been drifting for, 20, 30 years, most of us. And then we come to a space in our life where we have encountered a vehicle that will just crash us, whether it's come in the form of a divorce, sickness, disease, whatever it is that presents before us. I know a lot of us panic, and everyone in Corby's story, it was cancer, sicknesses and disease, all these things we bring on ourselves if we look at how life is set up. Because I believe we are force, we are a spirit, and that spirit is a form of a type of force that we are not aware of yet, but simply because we're here, but we know that it exists and it pulls things to us. Job made a statement, the thing that I have feared has come upon me. So that tells you that this force is alive, it's aware, it's powerful. And as Corby said, you know, she danced with a part of that force that came to her, but then she tell her story of how she overcame it. And that's what I love to hear, that these things present, Dominic, but we are not subject to them. We can overcome them once you decide within yourself. And I think that's the key in people today. If you ask a lot of college students, you know, what's your profession? What do you want? I don't know. And I have a thing that I say, Dominic, it's called your statement of faith. In business, it's called your vision statement. If you don't have that, some kids say, I want to be a doctor, and they're zeroed into it. That's their statement of faith. And they govern their life accordingly. And most of us, I think probably about 80% of the mankind, do not have that. And I utilize the Bible a lot, the stories out of there, Dominic, because it's someplace that I'm familiar with. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I could touch the garment, his garment, I will be made whole. She said that within her. That was her statement, and it guided her. She did what she had to do in order to make it happen. She pushed through the crowd, whatever. God's statement of faith was, I need some light. He says, he's looking at this darkness, and he said, wait a minute, I need light. Let there be light. And he began to declare his statement of faith. It's called creation. That's where we find our statement of faith. I believe it comes crystallized when we are visited by darkness. And everything else becomes outside. Doesn't matter. That pain has a way of focusing our thoughts and what we want. And until we get there, I don't think we'll ever move. I think your life will be forever drifting on that plane of nothingness and emptiness and unhappiness and all that stuff. And so I encourage people all the time, Dominic, find it, because it will help you when the time comes hard. Talk to us about some of these things that you had to you talk about 2012, changing your a pivotal part of your life, changing your belief system, your mind, your making you more open. Talk to us about some of those initial fears, thoughts that you had to overcome.
Ah, solid question indeed. So that wonderful year, 2012, overcoming year. I like to call it a setback sandwich now, because it was a nice little three-pronged attack. Because July 30th that year, father went out for a drive, and then July 31st didn't come back. And comes to find out, he actually was found in a town about a good, say, 40 minutes outside of Baltimore called Silver Spring. And we're like, dude, why the heck is he there? Yeah. And come to find out, we got there and we discovered he had Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So we had to basically take away his license. I had to really pony up and do more driving because my mother was sick at the time as well. So good thing I got my license a couple years earlier before that situation. And the follow-up, September, on my way to IT security class. It wasn't raining outside, but it just got finished raining. And for some strange reason, when I made a left turn, the brake jammed on my car, skid into the curb, and then got into a darn car accident. And traffic was backed up for a nice little 90 minutes.
Wow.
and it gets even better. To complete the sandwich, I got called into my boss's office for a meeting because there are some times where I screwed up, and they documented them and they pointed them out to me. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, wow. Mm. And it just showed me, like, your personal life is going to show up in your professional life. Yeah. Your life is your life. You can't really hide either or. They're going to blend into one another, especially if you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, that meeting was actually integral to growth, because little did I know at the time, she actually planted a seed in my head where she mentioned, like, hey, because I was working there for 5 years at the time, And she was like, hey, I have some new hires coming in, and they're going to be looking to you, myself, as a leader. And I'm like, okay, in my head. And then they're like, hey, they're going to look at you as a leader because you've been here for 5 years and you got to know something. You're still here for some kind of reason. You ain't did nothing too stupid. We keep you around. So it's like, hey, you got to know something.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, those three things just piling up at once led me to realize, wait a second, I had my own metaphorical acres of diamonds. There was gold beneath my feet the whole time. Yeah. Because after that whole situation, went to the 650s in the business area, picked up one of John Maxwell's books, The Five Loves of Leadership, and like listened to it, read it, and it just changed my life. And I just found self-development and just really just started charging forward and trying to learn as much as I can and really apply what I could do to my life and really grow from there. So that was really the obstacles that actually was a set up for some future success.
Yeah, like I said, the dark place, Dominic, those type stories that you talk about, when you are in that, you have a bit, it crystallized. You begin to look in the inside. And like you said, you had an epiphany. And that epiphany comes in words that someone says. It comes in a thought. And usually that's how things are given birth. It comes in the thought, and you thought within yourself, just like the woman with the issue of blood. You said, wait a minute. And so that thought, when crystallized, caused you to say something. And when you said that within yourself, you began to do the work that is necessary to make it a reality. And that is what I try to tell people, that you got to find that, because it is the thing, the most powerful thing a human being will be able to grab hold of. I'll give you another story from the Bible. Abraham, the Bible tells us his name was Abram. And so Abram, God kept coming to him and saying to him, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be a father of many nations. He didn't get it. He thought it was going to be Lot. He thought it was going to be Hagar and Ishmael. He thought of everything. And God is trying to tell this man, no, it's you. So what God did, Dominic, was God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. God gave him his statement of faith. He gave it to him. Because if you read it, it says that Abraham means a father of many nations, period. God gave it to him. And once anyone called him Abraham, when he said, my name is Abraham, he is then confessing his statement of faith. The Bible tells us that he and his woman, at the age of 99 and 100 and whatever it was, you know, got pregnant. So it caused him and Sarah to get busy, as they say. And once they got busy, Dominic, she got pregnant, and they gave birth to a son. So you and I, that piece that I keep trying to tell people, it is probably one of the most important things, because what it is, it's a guide. It's like a compass that a plane needs in order to get to where it's going. If that compass is damaged, that plane is in trouble. So that statement that you made from that encounter, those situations that came into your life, that and the visit with your employer about, wait a minute, leadership. She began to say things in her. She didn't even know what she was. She's just probably saying some words. But to you, they became your statement of faith. And you grab hold of that. You went to class. You began to put in the work. And I tell people, if you don't put in the work, Dominic, you ain't going nowhere. Faith without works is dead, they taught me in church. So you got to put in the work. And people are lazy today, man. They're just lazy today because the work is difficult. Changing your personality, changing your behavior is difficult stuff because you have to face yourself, realize that you're a mess, realize that you're making decisions certain ways that need to be. And it's a great place to be, though. You know, tell the people about that place. It's a great place, though, because it crystallizes your thoughts, I think, Dominic. What do you think, man?
Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. Because the thing is, like, we're put on the planet to do some work here. If you don't work here, you don't eat, obviously, from the good book. It says, like, hey, work, especially if it's work that fulfills you, too, and pays you at the same time. It's really double fulfilling, because it's like, hey, your bills are paid and you're taken care of and you're doing something that you enjoy. And sometimes you have to do the work you don't enjoy to get to the work that you truly do enjoy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I absolutely believe. And I think once you realize we have to live in a space of awareness, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, worry about today. So we need to focus on what we're doing today. And our hope is still about tomorrow, but the focus that he was talking about was the focus about today, be able to manage, control your thoughts today. Why? Because if you control your thoughts today, you'll be able to manifest the stuff you need tomorrow. So talk to us about some of those. Once you got this revelation that, okay, and you began to put in the work to get the self-development going. Talk to me about some of those ideas or thoughts or belief system as you began this new journey that you became aware of that you had to visit, to have a conversation and learn how to master them.
Yep, sure thing. One of them is the power of questions and also answering those questions of yourself, because one thing I mentioned in my first book, Going North, is the PAR method, where you design your day to design your life. And the PAR and the PAR method, the P is for preparation, A is for action, and R is for reflection. So the preparation questions, what good will I do today? Having your mind thinking on the good, like doing something good for somebody, connecting with someone you haven't connected with in a while, sharing a kind word with someone. Another thing, a follow-up to that, is what can I share? Where you get yourself in that giving spirit already, because the secret to living is giving. And if you can share something like time with somebody listening ear, or heck, even sometimes sharing some money with a homeless person out there who may need some money to get that next meal, sharing a meal with somebody, that's always good. And then the action of what must I, because sometimes all the time for a lot of us, there's always something we procrastinate on. And by the time we get around to it, you realize, oh, wow, that only took 5 minutes. And if I would have just took the time and just actually sat down, buckled myself down, and did, I would have had it over with. And that's what that question is for. So you just have to focus on the good, focus on being a giver, focus on getting things done. And then at the end of the day, reflecting on, what did I learn today? Because you learn something new every day. Heck, even having dinner with some buddies of mine yesterday, fellow speaker came from Arkansas, him and his wife, to do some training. And it was a pleasant surprise. And I was glad that Facebook actually showed that post, because sometimes people post things one day, you don't see it till 4 days later. But it must have been divine connection for it to happen, because he asked each and every one of us at the dinner table, like, hey, what are you excited about? And it got us to thinking, because for me, I was actually, one of my big goals is go to a special event this year, the certification event. And that was my big thing. The new thing is, for me, what I'm excited about now is finally getting out my 4th/3rd solo project book out this year, helping folks to start a podcast, publish a book, and create a legacy. And just questions like those. Oh, and the 5th and final question too, what good did I do today? So being on this podcast feels good to me, and you did good by inviting me, because it shows that something's working here. It's like, hey, I'm being discovered here. The magnet's working. So just focusing on preparing, taking action, and reflecting, and even a bonus, just asking yourself, what are you excited about? Because in these turbulent times we're in, you need to think of something terrific that'll help you propel and future cast something to make a future truth happen. Because that's really what visioning really is when you really just take something that's going to happen in the future and you say it's going to happen. And then when it manifests, it's a future truth. So that's really what it's all about, just preparing, acting, and
reflecting. That's awesome, man. I know the world that we live in today is in turmoil, as they say. We see it daily, the onset of the pandemic and all the other things. But I think within all of the chaos, it's a great opportunity for each and every one of us. I believe the onset of pandemic gave the individual person an opportunity to reevaluate his or her life. What is important to me? And that happened because we got a chance to disconnect from work, to be home with our family. Many of us, some of us had to continue to work, but many of us had that opportunity to see what is important. And reevaluate the reasoning behind the action. And I think it moved from there to allow corporations also to take a look at their model that they have been used to hire those employees. Now they are beginning to have to answer some of the questions that the employees have been asking, and or the demands that the employees have been asking for corporations about time with family, all of those things. So there's a restructuring opportunity for businesses, and I think the fact that they saw that the output of work increased in many cases with the family, with a person being home versus being in the brick and mortar stuff. So there's some evaluation going there as well. And I believe the other part of that is the evaluation now on a global scale. We're looking at leaders in countries that also have an opportunity to make their evaluation and make choices. So I think all of this stuff that is happening within the world today is an opportunity given to man, the human being, to make some corrections. Now, what we do with it is going to be dictated for the next couple of years that we live in. So it's a crucial time, I believe, we're in, but it's also a beautiful time because it gives us a chance. We will see lots of businesses come out of this. We will see life-changing things come out of this. So that's the beauty about the human spirit. We are able, and it is within our ability, within the darkness, to create light. So I'm interested in seeing what we create as a collective. So I want to talk to you, Dominic, as to the birth of your books, because you wrote several of them. You're moving forward now. You're learning about all of these things about yourself. You went to the class. How did the thought of the book, what was it that crystallized it, and your process in moving from there, and why that specific topic at that time?
Yeah, good question. Well, first book that actually started off as a dare, funny enough. It was actually me just networking with other people, and I was handing out these reading lists to people called the 100 Books for Dynamic Living as a way to set myself apart because, you know, business cards, they either end up forgotten in the trash or folks rarely keep them. So I'm like, oh, let me give a reading list to people, see how that works, and see if we can have one of those, oh, shoot, you too, you read that book, The Four Agreements. Like, oh, shoot, this is awesome. That was a great book. Yeah, just connect on that end. And one lady I handed the list to, she was like, hey, so where's your book on this list? And I'm like, dude, I was like 22 at the time. I'm like, I'm 20 freaking too. Like, think I'm going to write about. And she dared me to write a book a year from that day. And at first I was like, nah, I'm not doing it. But after talking it over with a friend of mine and being called out on it later in another Toastmasters meeting, ended up writing and publishing my first book. And that really just came from the challenge, because sometimes we just need a metaphorical fire under our butts. So that way we'll get moving out of the comfort of our own creations.
Yeah, I agree. And I keep telling people it will come in a conversation, because that's how it is. That's how we're designed. And so we need to be aware of our conversation and the impact it does to us. What happened within that exchange? Why was this aspect of my belief system ignited by that thought? And then you meditate on that thought and see where it takes you, because it resides within those words that those people are, that challenge. Again, that challenge is a bunch of words put together. Once those challenges are leveled at you and it lodges within your spirit, it will cause you to create. And so you created this book. And as I mentioned to you, once you create and you're aware of creation and your ability, you just don't stop there. I heard you talk about another book that you have coming up. So as you began to dig into all the principles of self-development and bringing these projects together, and I know it's just how things work, but talk to me a little about how things work when it led you to book two and all the different speeches and stuff like that, and eventually the podcast. It's just, I know it's a theory, it's a process by which you move and so forth, but talk to us about that process.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's really an evolution, to be honest, because I'm still a growing boy somewhat, still growing, still getting wiser and getting some metaphorical age on the bone. Yeah. So, hey, like, it's really just an evolution, because first book, that was a dare. Second book came from some grief. And the third book itself, Crappy to Happy, that actually came because an opportunity showed itself, because one of my goals was to be part of a multi-author book, and not just anybody's multi-author book, like someone who's actually done it before and they actually have some traction growing, and the opportunity presented itself. Cause you might be familiar with the post, but back in 2020, folks were like, hey, if you don't come out this pandemic with a new book, a business or something, and hey, you waste your time. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Well, let me make sure I don't waste my time and see what I can do. It's like, hey, do I write my solo book or do I find a multi-author project? And thus Crappy to Happy showed up in my sphere of influence. And the folks who are spearheading it, they've done it before. They had success with the prequel book, Chaos to Clarity, Secret Stories of Transformation. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to join this one too, because they actually knew what the heck they were doing. They had some proven success. They've actually been on a metaphorical battlefield before. So it really just came from just an evolution of just taking action. And the thing is, when you write things down, you'll make them happen nonetheless. Like, I look past on some past goals and things I've written down, they've actually come to pass. Now, granted, they didn't come to pass what I wanted them to at the time, but it's good when they actually did happen, because I was better ready for it.
Well, the principle is to write down the vision. You got to write it down so you can see, take a look at it. And I think one of the reason why we write it down, Dominic, is so that we can look at it and deposit it within the spirit of the man. I think we have a tendency that when the thought comes, if we don't write it down, we can, as they say, lose it. You know what I mean? We forget about it and so forth. I think when we when we write it down,
it's a nightmare. When you lose it,
you sit there and you're all kinds of messed up. And I think a lot of us probably lose a lot of our direction and our vision in our life because we did not write it down. But one of the scriptures says, write down the vision. He told the prophet, write it down, bro. So I go with that. I take those principles and I have books of stuff that I write down. One of my books that I wrote called Blueprint of Faith was one day I was in my meditation and praying, and the thought came to me, Blueprint of Faith. And I just wrote it down. I didn't pay any attention to it, just wrote it down. And I thought, I remember looking at it going, wow, that's beautiful. And I never thought anything about it, never thought that it would become a book, that it was a title for a book. So my advice to everyone, my mother, she used to sleep with a book and a pen by her nightstand. And she, when she have her thoughts in the morning or whatever, when she's coming out, she would write those things down. And my dad does the same as well. So I suggest that people to do it, because it is, sometimes we're getting it within that transition when we're waking up, our clearness is there. The spirit man is alert, but we sometimes miss those things in the twilight of our dreaming, as they say, but it's there, man. So talk to me about Going North. Guys, I want you to go to Dominic's podcast. He has one, it's called Going North. And I love his podcast because it's similar to what I'm doing, in the sense that we're probing people with questions to get answers, to create, as you heard Dominic talked about earlier, this tapestry of wisdom and knowledge and insights that we're trying to create in this space at this current time, so that people can participate within that tapestry. They can extract things that they need. They can deposit things that they need, whether it's in books, podcasts, whatever format that they want to deposit. Talk to us about your podcast. Talk to us about how that came about. How did it make you feel as an individual, and the joy and all the other things that come from that project that you have created?
Yeah, my pleasure indeed. Well, the show Going North, it actually stemmed from book one, Going North, as a way to market that book, but also to bring some other folks along with me, so that way it's not just me rambling every week. And 100 flowers just blossomed out of nowhere, because originally it was going to be called the Mr. Music and Reads podcast, and it was going to be once a week. But consistency pays, because one episode every week turned into out of nowhere 2 episodes a week, and then 2 years later turned into 3 episodes a week, sometimes 4, with occasional bonus episodes, because consistency pays. It was actually ranked in the top 10 self-help podcasts in the world, because like it was consistent and there were some great guests. It was a nice motley crew of people. Like the youngest person I've had on the show was 17, the oldest was 80, and just different various levels of wisdom, from those who've lived longer lives and have a lot to share to those who are still on their way and creating their journey as they're going along. So really it's just a chronicle and feature fellow writers, give them a platform to share their stories, their books, their businesses, and their expertise, and just to help them to advance too. And I get to learn too. I get to be a little selfish with the podcast, you know, get to talk to some random wonderful folks and pick their brain a little bit, or as you say, probing. But don't worry, we don't take them on the mothership, though. We don't do the mothership. But we have mothers on the show.
Tell me about it, man. I love it, because it's the exchange to me is what gets me excited, because I grow a lot myself. Trust me, I've grown a lot by having all these people and all these voices on. I am the same with you. I have guests from all over, different ages and different vocation and professions and all of the different things, because we are a part of the human race, and all of our collective lives journey can teach. And I am interested in teaching and learning, because that brings me joy. I know the thing about the consistency. I started with one. I have 3 podcasts, by the way. And so I started with one. Threads of Enlightenment was 1 per week. Now then it went to 2, and it's now 3, and I'm fighting going 4, because I have all the other things going, but it's exploding because of that. And so it is. What it shows to me, Dominic, is there's a need out there that people are looking to gain answers, wisdom, information to help them to become more, for lack of, I know I use the word enlightenment, but for me, as my people know, I said, enlightenment to me is that's the point when you and I become better students of ourselves. And I think people are beginning to, are excited about learning how to become better students of themselves. And that is what we entitle that. And we call those things self-development, self-growth, self-help. But to me, it is personal growth, in the sense that we are in school learning about who we are. And as we begin to find out who we are, we realize that we're much more than what people have been saying we are. And then once we come to that realization, you and I, as I mentioned before, we cook this beautiful dish, man. And then we turn it, we present this dish that comes out in State of Course, in Going North, in all of these different things and tiles that we call our dishes. And those dish is then served to people through different platforms, the podcast on this, on whatever platform, the books on their platform, so that people can stop by at a restaurant, Amazon, or wherever, and buy our dish and partake of that meal that we have presented to them. Dominic, man, I want to thank you. This has been a marvelous time. It is my hope that you come back and we can do this again and again and again, man, and learn from each other, so that we can expand this tapestry, put some more color in there and some more flavor, some hot sauce, as they say, so that we can keep cooking this dish, man. Thank you so much for coming by.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, man. Always welcome to come back, you know. That's right, to the Chocolate Brothers, you know, sharing some dishes. That's right, indeed. You don't have to wash these dishes. Because they're going to be in your mind.
Next time we'll talk about that mothership, man. How to get on time.
All the pros.
You need to talk to Brother Clinton about all that mothership stuff. And so...
Hey, I didn't sleep with that woman, but he said...
Yeah, yeah, we got...
That's all the story.
We got to believe what he says, right, at some point. Oh, man, but thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for coming by, Threads, man.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.